Hey, what's new? Are you ready to get started?
Yes, sir.
All right, the worship team is. Are the rest of you ready to get started? All right, if you are a guest with us this morning, welcome. We are so grateful that you have chosen to be a part of our worship service this morning. We hope that our worship service will be a blessing to you. When you came in this morning as a guest, you should have received a welcome packet. Inside that welcome packet is a little card. If you'll just take a moment, fill that out, drop it in the offering plate, or just leave it on the information table a little bit later, that'll be so helpful to us. Everybody else, along with our guests, should have received a bulletin, did you? All right. Well, one of you did. Okay. All right. If you have a bulletin, take it out. Let's kind of go over some of the things that are going on this morning. Right after our morning worship service, we have Sunday school. This is for children all the way through adults. And so I want to encourage you to stay for Sunday school. If you haven't been joining us for Sunday school, it's not too late. You can always just come in right where we are. That'll be great. Men, Tuesday night at 6:30 p.m., we have our leadership team meeting here. So if you're part of the leadership team, I hope you have that on your calendar and you'll be here ready to be able to help continue to lead and guide and do the business of Lake Hazel Bible Church. Wednesday, we have Joy Bible Study here at the church, and this is open for anybody. We're continuing on in our study of the book of Romans. Thursday night, we have Awana, and it is Pajama Jam. So our kids already know what that's all about, so that'll be great. Saturday, Ladies Connection, you have the details there in the bulletin. Hopefully you've got that on your calendar and you'll be able to be here. Next Sunday is Easter. Didn't we just celebrate New Year's just 2 weeks ago? Yeah, right, it seems that way. And hopefully by the time that Easter gets here, spring will have arrived. Okay, hopefully. The weathercasters are trying to convince us that that's the way it's going to be, so we'll see. But anyway, the weather is what it is, the Easter Sunday's coming next week, and we will have our annual Easter Sunday breakfast, and we will be having crepes and the toppings that go along with it. That'll be provided, but we're going to have to bring some other food to help go along with the crepes and the toppings. And there's a sign-up sheet on the information table. There's still some spaces available. So we need you to sign up so that we know what food you're bringing. We need you to sign up so that we make sure that we have enough food to be able to make this a really good event. And so that's up to you. Also on the information table, we have some Easter Reflections booklets that were sent to us by Our Daily Bread, and those are available for you. Take those, use them, pass them out to those that you might think would need them. Well, David and Brianna's baby is here. So Navy was born last night at 10:29 p.m. She weighed 6 pounds, 8 ounces, and she is 100% healthy. And that came from David himself. Oh, yeah? All right. So we're excited for them, aren't we? That God has done this. I know that they're excited, and so probably very soon we'll be able to say congratulations to them personally, but probably not today. Okay? All right. So anyway, are you glad you're here this morning?
Yeah.
Are you glad that we have a place like this to be able to come and to worship, to be able to hear from God? Yeah, I think so. I think we should all be happy for that. All right, let's get ready to lift our voices in praise to the Lord. Are you ready to do that? All right, worship team, help us out.
Would you all stand with me for this first song?
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And for my pardon this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. for my cleansing, this my plea. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Next verse.
Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. No, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Lord, we thank you this morning. We thank you for that blood of Jesus that brought to us salvation through faith, by grace. It's only because of what you did for us. And so, Lord, we're so thankful for that. God, that's why we sing. That's why we have hope. That's why we gather, is because of you. We love you, Lord. We praise you today. Amen.
Salvation belongs to our God, who sits upon the throne, and unto the Lamb praise and glory, wisdom and thanks, honor and power and strength. Be to our God forever and ever. Be to our God forever and ever. Be to our God forever and ever. Amen. And we, the redeemed, shall be strong in purpose and unity, declaring aloud praise and glory, wisdom and thanks, honor and power and strength. Be to our God forever and ever. Be to our God forever and ever. Be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Praise and glory, wisdom and thanks, honor and power and strength. Oh, be to our God forever and ever. Be to our God forever and ever. Be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Forever and ever. Amen. Forever and ever. Amen.
Give the Lord a round of applause this morning. Come on. He's worthy of our praise. Amen. He is glorious. He is our King eternal. I'm going to teach you a new song. Hopefully it's not too complicated, but it's called Unto the King Eternal.
Now unto the King eternal, unto the King immortal, unto the King invisible, the only wise God, the only wise God. Now unto the King eternal, unto the King immortal, unto the King invisible, the only wise God, the only wise God. Oh, unto the King be glory and honor, unto the King forever. Unto the King be glory and honor forever. Now unto the King eternal, unto the King immortal, unto the King invisible, the only wise God, the only wise God. Oh, unto the King be glory and honor, unto the King forever. Unto the King be glory and honor forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Lord, we worship you today, because you're the only one worthy of worship. Lord, we worship you because you are good. We worship you because you are King. We worship you because there's no better place to be than in your house.
I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is what I want to do. I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace, that is what I want to do. I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. I worship you, Almighty God, there is none like you. There is none like you. There is none like you.
Please be seated as we continue this morning. Our ushers are going to prepare to take this morning's offering, and if you're visiting with us, please don't feel obligated to give. We give because we want to worship. with all that we are. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you.
So does worship only take place within the walls of this sanctuary? No, it doesn't. Worship takes place anywhere we are. Because if we're a believer in Jesus as Savior, where we are, He's there. Isn't that great? Wherever we go as a believer, He's there. And we can worship Him. You can worship Him in your car. You can worship Him in your home. You can worship Him at work. Just don't let your boss find out. Just kidding. Maybe it would be a good thing for your boss to be able to find out. We can worship Him anywhere we are. We can worship Him 24/7. Isn't that good to know? I just think that's great. I just think that's wonderful. All right, children, come on down and we'll get you ready for Children's Church. Hey, good morning. You ready for Easter? Are you ready for Easter? Maybe? Yes? No? Well, it's coming, whether we're ready or not. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you. And Father, we do appreciate the times that we can worship you, not just on Sunday mornings, but that you lift our hearts in praise to you. You indicate through your Holy Spirit that you want us to be able to focus ourselves on you. And Father, that's what we're about ready to do, is really focus ourselves on you as we look into your word. Father, we've focused as we've enjoyed the music. We've focused as we've lifted our voices. Now, Father, help us to just sit back and in the quietness of our hearts and our minds, continue to focus on you. Father, we just pray that as we hear your word, we just won't be hearers, but Father, we'll be doers. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, go and have a great time. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 21, in case you haven't figured it out yet. Today is Palm Sunday, the Sunday traditionally known as the Sunday before Easter. And as I was looking back, I noticed that for about the last two, maybe three Palm Sundays, we haven't had a Palm Sunday message. I've just kind of continued on with what it was that we were studying up until Easter. But I thought, you know, maybe it would be good if we just kind of went back and just talked about some of the things about Palm Sunday and maybe look at it from a maybe little different angle. So we're going to do that this morning. If you notice in the bulletin, the title of the message this morning is On the Jerusalem Road, and we're in Matthew chapter 21. So hopefully you've found in your Bibles Matthew 21, and we're going to read verses 1 through 11 here in just a moment. But a woman was driving home one night. The weather was nasty. The rain was coming down very hard, and it was very difficult to see. Some of like the rain we've been having the last few weeks. Seeing taillights ahead of her, she followed the car in front. Not being able to see, the car in front seemed to be going in the right direction. So she kept up with it. Then the car in front of her came to a stop. She began to wonder what happened. Perhaps the car in front had hit something on the road. She began to feel uncomfortable, knowing that stopping in the middle of the road can lead to a dangerous situation. Then the car in front of her turned off its lights. Her concern was now turning to anger. She didn't understand why this person had stopped in the middle of the road and was now turning off their lights. Soon she was startled by a knock on the window. She looked up, and there was a man standing in the pouring rain wanting to speak to her. She rolled down her window and asked the man what the problem was. The man replied that was the question he was going to ask her. She responded that she was not the one who had stopped in the middle on the road and then turned off the lights. The man's reply was that they were not in the middle of the road. They were in his driveway. Now, from this story, we can see that this woman had chosen the wrong leader. She had chosen a leader who would not take her to where she wanted to go. And there are times in life we too are faced with storms and trials, and it can be hard to see the correct road ahead. And it's at this time we need to find a leader, capital L, who can guide us. We need to make sure that we are on the right road, the road that will get us to where we need to go, and we need to choose the right leader who is on the right road. Hence the title, On the Jerusalem Road. Because as Jesus was preparing to be able to go to the cross, he rode down from the Mount of Olives down into Jerusalem on a road to Jerusalem. And we're going to talk about some things about Jesus on this road. Hopefully by now you've found Matthew chapter 21. Follow along as I read verses 1 through 11. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethpage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them at once." This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble, mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put them on their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowd said, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee." So let's take a look at some of the facts about this road that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. First, it was a road of humility. You see that in verses 1 through 3? "Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethpage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, 'Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord needs them, and he will send them at once.'" Now normally, we picture a hero's entrance filled with a blaze of glory. We like it when the good guy makes a grand entrance, right? Think about the action movies or the westerns you have watched. You know, think about John Wayne, right? Riding into a situation, right? Tall in the saddle, right? Guns drawn, ready to be shooting up what needed to be shot up in order to get people's attention, in order to get them to do what they wanted to do. We like that about our heroes, don't we? But here's Jesus coming in humility. Now, when we think of Jesus the Savior making an entrance, we would like to think that there would be all the pomp and pageantry that would be fitting for an important person such as this. And as Jesus was on the road to Jerusalem, I'm sure that there were many there who had those type of thoughts in their heads. They were probably thinking, here's the one who's going to free us from Rome. Here's the one who will take care of those rotten Romans and set up the promised kingdom of David with all of its glory. But Jesus chose the road of humility. He does not come riding into town on a white stallion, which was the custom of the day. When a conquering hero, when a conquering king, when a conquering government official went into another village, went into another town, went into another country and conquered that country, they would be coming riding back into the place to where they lived with a parade, with a lot of pomp, with a lot of pageantry. And they would be riding not a donkey. They would be riding a white horse. Jesus comes riding on the road to Jerusalem on a donkey. And you know what? It wasn't even his donkey. It was a borrowed one at that. And this reflected the life of Jesus, which was a life of humility. Jesus did not come into this world with wealth. He did not come with grandeur, but he came with meekness. He was not one who had a lot of material fortune and fame, but his life was a clear picture of humility. And when Jesus spoke of his coming kingdom, he spoke in terms of it being one of service and servanthood and a kingdom of humility. And someday, when we serve Jesus in that kingdom, we are going to serve in humility. We're going to serve him, and we're going to serve others, not for our gain, but for him to get all of the glory. We're going to serve in that coming kingdom in humility. The road that Jesus had traveled on was a road of humility. And it's a road that he desires his dedicated disciples to travel on. I think sometimes we lose sight of that. Oh, we love and we desire God's blessings. But do we really want to follow Jesus on the road to humility? You see, to join Jesus on the road of humility means giving up our selfish desires. It means denying ourselves. It means making God the focus of our heart and lives. It means living according to his word. Some of us, we don't want to do that. We like the glory. We like the fame. We like the fortune, even if it is only fleeting, only if it's for a short period of time. To join Jesus on this road of humility means giving up the things that are important to us. Not only was this road to Jerusalem for Jesus a road of humility, it was also a road of fulfillment. Do you see what it said in verses 4 and 5? "This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, 'Say to the daughter of Zion, Behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. Now, the fact that Jesus enters Jerusalem on a colt of a donkey is not just by chance or luck. The fact that the donkey was right where Jesus said wasn't just a lucky guess on his part, but it was the fulfilling of God's plan. How do we know that? We can find this out in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, where Zechariah the prophet says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Now, this is just one of the many prophecies that we see in the Old Testament concerning Jesus. In fact, there are some 332 prophecies in the Old Testament which are fulfilled in Jesus. That is amazing. The mathematical odds of all of those prophecies being fulfilled by one man is hard to comprehend, especially somebody who doesn't do math very well, like me. The odds, let me give them to you. The odds are 1 in 84 to the 123rd power. Jesse, do you understand that? Okay, good, because I don't. Okay, all right. But I figured this out with help, and this is 84 with 123 zeros after it. Y'all got that? 84 with 123 zeros after it. That is really amazing. So what does this tell us? Well, it tells us that Jesus is indeed the Savior promised in the Old Testament, and that God's plan of redemption would be fulfilled. Now, as I already said, Zechariah 9, verse 9 is just one of the many promises given by God concerning the Savior. Let me give you some others. Being betrayed by a friend, Psalm 44, 9. Sold for 30 pieces of silver, Zechariah 11, verse 12. False witnesses accusing him, Psalm 27, 12. Silent when accused, Isaiah 53, 7. Struck and spit upon, Isaiah 50, chapter 50, verse 6. Suffered in our place, Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. His hands and feet pierced, Psalm 22, 16. Mocked and insulted, Psalm 22, verses 16 through 18. His side pierced, Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. Soldiers cast lots for his clothes, Psalm 22, verse 18. Not a bone broken, Psalm 34, 20. Buried among the rich, Isaiah 53, verse 9. So what these promises show us is that the whole life of Jesus was God's plan to redeem us. And Jesus came to fulfill God's plan. All that Jesus went through was for the payment of sin that God required. And Jesus is the only one who could pay our debt of sin. Only Jesus could pay that debt. Only Jesus could satisfy that requirement of God. You know, in the New Testament, it talks about Jesus being our propitiation. That word propitiation is just a big theological word that means satisfaction. Jesus satisfied what it is that God required for the payment of mankind's sin. That means your sin, my sin, the sin of the whole world. Only Jesus could satisfy that payment. Only he could do that. And he did that by going to the cross so that you and I could believe in him as Savior. Jesus traveled down that road of fulfillment, knowing that it would lead to his death on the cross, but also knowing that he would bring salvation for eternal life to all who believe in him as Savior, and that eternal life will be lived with God in heaven forever and ever for all who believe in him as Savior. Jesus fulfilled not only God's word, he fulfilled God's plan, and he's the only one that could. It was also a road of submission. Did you see that in verses 6 through 8? The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks, and he sat on them. And most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The road to Jerusalem for Jesus was a road of submission. Submission to his heavenly Father, along with obedience to his heavenly Father. Jesus' loyalty was to the will of his heavenly Father. Jesus' purpose was to do the will of God. How many times do we read in the New Testament over and over and over again that Jesus says, I have come to do the will of him who sent me. I need to be about my Father's business. I have come to do what God has sent me here to be able to do. He was all about submitting to the will of his heavenly Father. In fact, after a few days after his ride on the road to Jerusalem, Jesus finds himself in the Garden of Gethsemane praying to God. And what does he pray? My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. You see, Jesus saw his upcoming death on the cross, his upcoming suffering, and he prays that God would take it away if at all possible. But Jesus ends his prayer as we should end all of our prayers, not as I will, but as you will. This shows us his complete submission to the will of the Father. May we not pray for our own selfish wills to be accomplished, but let us pray that God's will be done, that God would be glorified as we faithfully do his will. Did you notice something about the disciples? They obeyed him. These two disciples that Jesus said, you go into the town, and this is what you need to do. You go into the town, this is what you're going to see. And once you go into the town, and once you see it, this is how you're going to respond. This is what you need to do. They obeyed him. They were told where and how to get the colt. Now, they probably thought this was a strange thing to do. Go into this town, walk through the streets, find where there's a mother donkey and where there's a foal tied to the mother donkey, and then just go in and tie it and start leading it away. And if anyone says to you, what in the world are you doing? Why are you stealing my car? I mean, why are you stealing my donkey? And then the foal, tell them, the Lord has need of them. That's all they were supposed to say. They weren't supposed to go into this long explanation. They weren't supposed to go back and talk about what Zechariah had prophesied or any of the other prophets. They weren't supposed to tell all of the story. They were just supposed to say, the Lord has need of it. And the person who owned the donkey and the person who owned the foal of the donkey would just say, all right, go ahead. Okay, go ahead. That's all the explanation I need. That's good enough for me. Now imagine that. Imagine that you're getting in your car this morning after church and somebody forces their way into your car, ask you for the keys, and when you say, what in the world are you doing? They said, the Lord needs it. Are you going to say, oh, just go ahead and drive off? No, you're not, right? But the person, Jesus said, if they say anything, just say the Lord needs it. They must have thought this was really strange. But they obeyed. They submitted to Jesus. You see, we need to be willing to obey God, to submit to him. How do we know what it is that God has instructed us to do? Through his word. Now, I got to admit, as a human being, sometimes I read what it is that God has instructed me to do, and it sounds strange. It goes against my human nature. It goes against what I think I want to do. It goes against what I think my life ought to be and what it is that I would like to do. Sometimes I read God's instructions. I read Jesus' instructions given to us in his word, and it's like, I don't know about that. But you know what? I have to come to the realization that, you know what? Whether it sounds strange to me or not, whether it's something I want to do or not, I need to submit. I need to submit to God in obedience. I need to submit to His word in obedience. It doesn't matter whether we want to or not, whether we think it's strange or not. We need to follow Jesus on the road of submission, submitting our lives to God and to the instructions He has given us in His word. This is what dedicated disciples do. Jesus' disciples, when Jesus said, "This is what I want you to do," they went and did it, even if it sounded strange to them. Now notice something else about Jesus on this road to Jerusalem. Notice that the crowd laid down their garments before Jesus as He travels along the road. Where in the world did this come from? Why in the world was this being done? Well, I got to believe that many that were there watching Jesus riding on this donkey, riding on this colt, came riding in from the Mount of Olives, and their minds went back to 2 Kings that they heard the teaching of the Old Testament. And their minds went back to 2 Kings. In 2 Kings chapter 9, Jehu was proclaimed king. And when this happened, the captains of Jehu laid down their garments before him. Why? As a sign of submission to his kingship. Here, the people are seeing Jesus on the road, and they're doing what? The same thing. They laid down their garments as a sign of submission to Jesus as king. They laid down their garments as a way of welcoming him. So as I was thinking about this, I came to this question. So what have we laid down to show that we are submitting to Jesus? What have we laid down to show that we are welcoming Him and His word into our lives? You know, those who laid down their garments before Jesus were not afraid of getting their garments messed up. Now remember, they weren't laying their garments on asphalt. They weren't laying their garments on nice paved, smooth cement. This was a dirty, dusty road. So they're laying their garments in the dirt. And then people were walking through that dust and through that dirt on that road into Jerusalem, and they had it on their sandals, and they were walking on those garments following Jesus. And the foal of the colt, the foal of the donkey, had been walking on that dusty, dirty road with its hooves, and it walked on the garments. You think the garments stayed clean? Nope. This was a Tide moment, okay? Right? If a laundry commercial ever needed to be made, this would be a good way for them to be able to do that. But they weren't worried about their garments being messed up. They laid down their garments. But sometimes we don't want to give ourselves to Jesus because we don't want Him messing up our lives. We become so comfortable with who we are. We've been so comfortable with the things that we've allowed to come into our lives that maybe we understand according to what God has told us in His word shouldn't be a part of our lives. And we're afraid to give ourselves to God. We're afraid to submit to Him. We're afraid to follow the instructions that He's given to us because it might what? Mess up our lives. But God has told us that this is what we ought to do. Let me remind you of Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. You probably are familiar with these verses. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Does God want us to submit ourselves to Him? I think Romans chapter 12 tells us that. Does God want us to follow the instructions of His word? I think God wants us to be able to do that. Does God want us not to be conformed to this world? I think God has made it pretty clear. When it says, do not be conformed to this world, it's kind of hard to argue with that, right? But we don't want to make that sacrifice of submission to Jesus, because we still want to cling to the things of this world. We need to follow Jesus on the road of submission. This road also was a road of destiny. Did you see that in verses 9 through 11? And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, Who is this? And the crowd said, This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee. You know, even before his birth, Jesus was destined to go to the cross. We can go all the way back to a conversation that God had with Adam and Eve in the garden after they disobeyed God, after they rebelled against God, after they refused to continue to submit themselves to God. God said, there's coming one. There's coming one who's going to crush the head of Satan. Oh, Satan's going to bruise his heel, but there's coming a one that's going to defeat him. There's coming a one that's going to take care of this. And even after his birth, Jesus was blessed with words of destiny. It tells us in Luke chapter 2, verse 34, and Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and the rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed. Jesus understood this was his destiny. Remember, it's recorded for us in the book of John. Jesus had a conversation with the religious leaders of Israel, known as the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes. And Jesus was standing in front of the temple. He had just got done cleaning the temple because they had made the temple something that God had not wanted it to be. Remember that? And they came and they challenged them and they said, Who do you think you are to do this? What authority do you have? And Jesus said, Listen, if you destroy this temple in 3 days, I will rise it up. Now, they were blind spiritually. They couldn't understand that Jesus wasn't talking about the temple that he was standing in front of, the structure. They didn't realize he was talking about his body, saying what? He was going to go to the cross. He's going to die on a cross. He was going to die because he's the Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world. And in 3 days, after dying on that cross, he was going to rise again. He was going to be resurrected. There were many, many times where Jesus talked about his destiny. He knew that those cries of Hosanna would soon turn to cries of crucify him. Not even Pontius Pilate could prevent Jesus' destiny. Remember, Pilate tried to satisfy the people by offering Barabbas. He said, I find no fault in this man, but I know there's a criminal. You want to trade? If you want me to convict this innocent man, okay, I'll give you Barabbas instead. And they said, No, we don't want Barabbas. We want Jesus. Crucify him. Crucify him. Crucify him. He knew that these cries of Hosanna would soon turn to cries of crucify him. But Jesus was destined to go to the cross. Jesus traveled the road of Jerusalem, destined to suffer and die, but he was also destined to rise again. We're going to celebrate that next Sunday morning. I can hardly wait. Can you? In fact, can I let you in on a little secret? Every Sunday here at Lake Hazel Bible Church is Resurrection Sunday. We come together because Jesus rose again on Sunday morning. And that's why we gathered together, so that we could what? Celebrate him. We don't need Easter. I mean, Easter's a good time. It's a great time. We have our annual Easter breakfast. That's really cool. But we sing really cool songs. We hear about what Jesus has done for us as he died on the cross. And then as he rose again 3 days later. I can hardly wait for next Sunday. Can you? Jesus was destined to die on the cross. Why? So that you and I may live. so that you and I would have a Savior that we can believe in, so that you and I may live. How? Spiritually, abundantly, and eternally. You see, human beings were created to be able to live somewhere for all of eternity. And what makes the difference as to where we live for all of eternity is whether we believe in Jesus as Savior or not. You see, if you're here this morning and you don't believe in Jesus as Savior, you're going to live somewhere for all of eternity, but it's not really living, because you're going to be in a place of isolation. You're going to be in a place of torment. You're going to be in a place of punishment. You're going to be separated from God forever and ever and ever. That's not living. But if you're here this morning and you believe in Jesus as Savior, you're going to live eternally with Him in heaven forever and ever and ever. That's living! Are you looking forward to living? I'm looking forward to living. What we're doing here on earth isn't living. When we get to heaven, we are going to live! Because Jesus was destined to go to the cross. And because He was destined to go to the cross, He was destined to rise again on the third day. You come back next week. We'll talk more about that. So if you haven't already, believe in Jesus as Savior. If you haven't already, don't leave this place this morning without, in the quietness of your heart, without in the quietness of your mind, believing in Jesus as Savior. And if you're here this morning and you believe in Jesus as Savior, take the road to be a dedicated disciple. Now you might be saying, Pastor, what's that road? That road is knowing God's word and living God's word. And if you are on the road as a dedicated disciple, stay on that road to become more and more like Jesus. Romans chapter 8, verse 29 says, be conformed to the image of God's dear Son. You see, as dedicated disciples, because we believe in Jesus as Savior, that's what we're supposed to do. Become more and more like Jesus. Father, I'm so thankful that you showed us this morning this road that Jesus rode into Jerusalem from, coming down from the Mount of Olives into Jerusalem. And Father, it began a week where it was made abundantly clear that it was getting to the time that Jesus was to go to the cross, to die for the sins of the world, to be that Savior of the world, to be that propitiation. But He just didn't die on that cross. He rose again 3 days later. And Father, for those of us who believe in Him as Savior, His desire for us is to be His dedicated disciples, to become more and more conformed to the image of Him. Father, may that be true of us. Not just today, not just this morning, not just at the close of this hour, but Father, as we live day in and day out, the lives that you have given us in this place that you have given to us to live. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you stand with me for this last song? To God be the glory.
Let's just play.
To God be the glory, great things He has done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life an atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He has done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God. the vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Great things he has taught us, great things he has done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Yes, give him the glory, great things he has done.